All right. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. We're continuing the study on the home tonight, on home builders. Still continuing on the wife. We talked about the umbrella effect last week and gave an illustration. Ever since I used it, I haven't been able to find my umbrella. I don't remember what I did with it. And it started raining a lot earlier this week. We on, Brother Nick? This ain't working. All right. And so Colossians chapter number 3, so we're talking about the wives in submission to their own husbands and everything. And we looked at that umbrella effect a couple weeks ago. Colossians chapter number 3, let's look at a few verses tonight. And then I want to give some illustrations tonight. I got this board out. I'm not an artist, but I'll do the best I can. Colossians chapter 3. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And so this is a command that's given. And we're going to look at the other one over there in Ephesians chapter 5 here in just a second. But they're commanded to submit themselves unto their own husbands. And we've talked about that many times, about the fact that even if a lady has to work outside of the home, she is to submit to her husband. And sometimes that's the case. When my wife and I got married, she worked, and there's some that have to do that, or some that maybe don't have children or don't have to be there, and they choose to work. And I believe the best scenario that you could possibly have is to stay at home and raise your children for the glory of God. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's not the government's. It's not the church's job. It's your job as parents to raise your children, and the mother to raise the children there at home under the submission of her husband. But there's some cases, as we were years ago, where she has to work. And so in that case, you're still in submission to your own husband. And so that's very careful to make sure that you keep that order, even if you do have to work outside the home or be outside the home. And so here, when it talks about being fitting, as fit in the Lord, there, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You say, what does that mean? It's fitting, it's proper for a wife to submit herself to her husband, and specifically her own husband. It's proper before God for the wife to be in subjection to her husband. You say, to what extent is a wife to submit to her husband? And look with me over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So it would be the right thing, it would be the fitting thing, the proper thing for you to submit to your husband. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to look at a few verses tonight. I'll try not to be too long. I know we have church cleaning afterwards. Ephesians chapter 5. Some folks came up early and cleaned, so that gave me some more time. I know that they came and cleaned early, so they figured they could go home earlier, but they shouldn't have told me about it because now I feel like I got more time. I'm just joking. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. And some of you are like, oh boy. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Again, we're talking about wives submitting to your own husbands. But the end of the verse is a little bit different here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We've already saw that in Colossians. And the question is, to what extent would it be fitting and proper for a wife to submit to her husband? And the answer is here in this verse. For wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. All right? So you're to obey and submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Now look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, that's your example. The husband's example is Christ loving the church and giving himself for it. But the wives' illustration and their example is the church in subjection to Christ. So, in verse 24, let the wives be to their own husbands. I wonder why God had to put that in there so many times, to be submissive to their own husbands. You think it might be that many wives, I guess, during this time, the Bible's always been relevant, but I know especially today that women have a hard time in subjection, being in subjection to their own husbands. You say, what else are they in subjection to? I don't know, social media or whatever they read, magazines or television shows or another friend who thinks they know better about their marriage than, you know, than what God would have to say. They put themselves in subjection to all kind of things that's not their own husband. And so over and over again, he states that they need to be in subjection to their own husbands. And he says here, in everything. And so you say, to what extent is a wife to submit to her husband? And the answer is, in everything. In everything. The wife is to submit to her husband there in verse 22, as unto the Lord. And so you need to look at this thing at just as you're submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, as you're submitting to God, you need to submit to your husband. And the woman's husband, is your husband is certainly not God. Now, he might think he's God in your home or the king of the castle. He might, you know, walk around like that and think he's God, but he's not God. But he is to represent God in his family. He represents, he is the high priest of his home. Now, I say that, there was a lot of really bad high priests in the Bible. I went back and I've started reading my Bible over again, and I'm going through all the Leviticus and Exodus and all those things, to Deuteronomy through there. And as you start getting through some of those things and you start getting into Samuel, you'll start seeing that there was a lot of high priests that were very wicked. But the people were still told to go to that high priest and present their sacrifices and to do what they were supposed to do. Right? Throughout the whole thing, when you look at that, God continued to tell them to go offer their sacrifices and to follow the order in which he put in place. Even though some of those men were wicked, but God dealt with every one of them. I mean, he killed some of them. Matter of fact, they tied a rope around some of their ankles when they went in because they went in not right with God and they ended up dying. So husband, you better get right with God. He might kill you. Amen. Amen. I thought I'd get a few more amens from the women, but I didn't. And so that husband represents God in his family. I'm not saying that he is God, but the Bible here tells you to submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Just as you submit to God, and in submitting to your husband, you are submitting to God. All right? And so that husband represents God to his family, just as a judge represents God in a courtroom, just as a king represents God in a kingdom, or whatever the case might be there, ruling over the people in God's stead. So a husband, it represents God's. There's three commands that are given to the family. There's three main commands. Husband, love your wives. Wives, submit, and children, obey. Those are the three main commands. And I realize there's other subcategories that would fall under each one of those, as we've covered as we went over the men and some other things. But those are the three main commands. And so a wife's subjection to her husband is her obedience in the order to the home, her falling in submission. And also, when she does that, it covers some other things in her home. It teaches her children how to honor their father. I mean, one of the worst things that you can have in a family dynamic is a wife that's not right with God, and she puts down her husband in front of the children. Because she's teaching them, you don't have to respect the authority God put in our home. You say, well, what's the big deal? He's a bum. What the big deal is, you're teaching them that. And then one day, if they get around a good church somewhere, they're going to learn, I don't have to respect the pastor. And even greater and even worse, I don't have to respect God or his word. Why? Because the only authority in my life as a child, I was taught not to respect. You say, what if he's doing wrong? We're going to deal with that here in just a second. If I have time to go over that tonight, if not, we'll do it next week. You say, what if he's doing wrong? It doesn't matter. You should never put down your husband in front of your children. I mean, you're training them up. You ought to train them in the nurture and admonition of Christ and in a biblical home. And you say, well, he's not what he ought to be, but you should not teach them to disrespect their father, because that has other effects later on. They have a hard time respecting any man later. They'll have a hard time respecting a boss. And you taught them that. You taught them to talk back and to talk down to. And you got to be careful with how a husband and wife talk to each other. You should never, ever, ever have arguments in front of your children. They shouldn't see you arguing. Amen? Of course, if you have a perfect home, which nobody does, there's never any arguing, right? But they should, the children should never see that. They should never hear that. They should never hear the husband talk down to her. Because that's teaching them to disrespect the authority that God put in that home. For children to obey your parents, not just your father, they ought to respect her just as much as they respect him. And I've heard teaching and preaching before about a young man. It's just built into a young boy not to respect his mother, and that's not Bible. You honor your father and mother, and you obey your parents. That's both of them. And so they ought to be taught those things. I don't care if he's a teenage boy, he ought to obey and honor his mom. So what if she's wrong? God will deal with her. He still needs to obey and honor. And I'm going to give you some examples of that if we get to it tonight. If not, it'll be going to next week. But those are the three main commands. And so as a wife is in subjection to her husband, she's teaching her children how to be in subjection to him and how to be in subjection to the authority. And so you should never argue in front of them. You should never talk down to one another. I've seen this personally. I've seen it in person where as soon as a husband walks away, the wife turns right to the kid and says, "Don't listen to him." And not saying it jokingly. Amen? I mean, that should never be. Don't listen to him. I mean, she's in rebellion. Even if she doesn't agree with it, that doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say if you agree with it. And so, even worse than that, lady, you are hurting your children when you do that. You can feel that way all you want, and God will deal with you about it, but do not. You say, "I hate him, I'm mad at him," whatever the case might be, but you still, to your children, he is respected and honored. You teach them that. Because one day they're going to be sitting in church, and the Holy Spirit of God might be moving through the preaching, through the singing, and touch their heart about salvation. But if they disrespect any kind of authority because you ran down your husband, and especially in our church, because everybody knows how I preach. So if mama does that, then the preacher must be wrong too. And the day that God deals with them, and your response to your husband in front of your children just might decide whether your children go to heaven or hell. That's a humbling thought, is it not? You're going to raise a brat. And there's a lot of people raising brats. They don't respect any kind of authority. But you know what? Most of those kids, they learn that in the home. My wife and I have had conversations. I know we've got kids, they're growing up, and we're still learning. And everything I'm preaching or teaching, I have the authority of the Word of God to do that. I've been around teenagers my whole life. I've been preaching to them. I've been dealing with them, and I grew up in a good home, and I've got all those examples. We got good examples in here of parents and things like that. And I realize a kid, when they get older, they're going to make their own choice. God gave them a free will, but you do the best you can to raise them for the glory of God and let God deal with them. Amen? But I have the authority of the Word of God to teach this. I've had people come up and say, well, you don't have teenagers yet, so you don't even need to preach on that. Well, I have the authority of the Word of God to preach it, because what I'm preaching is truth, whether or not it turns out for me or not or y'all. And so it's still the truth. And so we got to be very careful in how we're raising our children. And wife, when you're in subjection to your husband, you're doing more than just protecting yourself. You're protecting your children, as we talked about last week. And you're teaching them how to respond to authority. And then one day when the Lord speaks to their heart, we're praying that's at a young age, they'll be responsive to the preaching. They'll respect the preaching, the preacher, and God can deal with their heart. He might deal with them about serving him, and they'll be responsive to that because they've seen how to respond to authority in the home. They've seen all those things. And for those that missed all the, maybe weren't here for the preaching on the men, I preached on the men for a long time and went over some of this stuff. So some of the ladies asked me if I'd get back on the men again, and maybe we'll do the men, the wives, the men, the children, then back to the men again. I don't know. I realize the men are stubborn and hard-headed, and they need a lot of preaching, but I did preach to them for a long time, and a lot of it's online, so you can go listen to it. All right? So a couple quick reasons why you should submit. One, the Bible told you to, and that ought to be enough. The Bible told you to submit, and it says to submit as unto the Lord. The second reason is because your children are watching, other people are watching. Some of you young ladies in here, you have friends that are watching how you react to your husband. If all they ever hear is you running your husband down, that's not a Christ-like example. Why would they want the Christianity you have? Why would they, you invite them to church, why would they want to go to the church you go to? I mean, there's no reason to, right? Because your marriage, obviously, you know, and all these kind of things. And so the people watching you, and there could be several other reasons, but let me give you this one more. And this is the one I want to focus on for a few weeks. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3, because this is the one that gets brought up. I've taught on this subject before, and this is the one that always gets brought up. All right, so I'm going to take the next couple weeks and teach on this. And I hope somebody gets a blessing out of it. If not, my wife will know what to do when I go sideways. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. Wives, when you submit to your husbands, you're obeying the Lord, you're obeying the Word of God, you're teaching your children, you're a good example to others around you, but a very, very special purpose in submitting to your husband is to keep him right with God, or get him right with God. You say, by me submitting and subjecting myself to my husband? Yes. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Again, every time it mentions subjection and submission, it says to your own husbands. There's something to that. There's a reason he's telling us that. All right? That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So what does that mean? I'm talking about any husband that's backslidden or they're lost. They can be won over just by the way you're in submission and in subjection to your husband. That's by your attitude, your behavior in the home. I mean, it, with all the things. And so, if no other reason a wife is to be in subjection and submit to her husband, if you have a husband, and this is the one excuse I hear every time I've counseled or taught with somebody, they said, you don't know my husband. I mean, you don't know how wicked he is, or you don't know, I mean, he does this and does this and does this and does this, and, you know, and I've heard it so many times, if he would love me the way that the Bible says, then I'll submit to him. The Bible never says that. It never says, if he does his part, you do your part. It just says you're supposed to do your part. Amen? It could be that you're unlovable. Amen? But he's got to love you anyway, or try to. Amen? And we already preached on the husband's not getting back on that. But she's to submit. And in a great special purpose for that is to win her husband. There's nothing more conviction in a marriage than a wife that is in subjection and submission to her husband, and he knows he's not right, and he knows he's not doing right, and she's humble, and she's got a meek and quiet spirit like the Bible talks about, and she just says yes, and she just does what she needs to, and she keeps the house, and she teaches her children the Bible, and she prays, and she keeps a good attitude and good song in her heart. Man, that's so convicting to a husband. Amen. I mean, it is so convicting. And most of the time in most churches, and some of y'all been around churches, we got a couple folks in here that were missionaries and they travel to a lot of churches. Most churches, good churches, are made up of women. Women and children. Especially during hunting season. You go down to Louisiana right now, that's all you're going to find is women and children in church. Is that right? Amen. I mean, women and children. Why? The men are out hunting. As soon as the boys get old enough, they take them out hunting, and they're teaching them that church is not really that important. Hunting's more important. But women, and they're the ones. But I'm telling you, it's very convicting. I mean, I've heard testimony after testimony of a woman that says, please pray for my husband. And she just got a good attitude. And man, it might be years later, and that husband comes to the door and he gets saved. Why? Because of her. It's very rare you hear it the other way around. Very, very, very rare. It's very rare to have a husband that's living right and he's saved and he's trying to do right and the wife that won't submit. You don't see that very often. You say, why? Because that marriage don't make it. It normally will, it will not make it. If he wants to do right and he wants to serve God and she doesn't, they most of the time they will not stay married. The only way they stay married is if he compromises everything he believes and says, yes, ma'am. That's the only way that marriage makes it. And then he just lives in hell for the rest of his life. It rarely makes it when he says, I'm going to live right, we're going to do right, we're going to go to church, and she says, no, we're not. And I've got an illustration I'm going to show of that probably next week because I'm running out of time, and I see people want to clean real bad. But note here that God tells a saved wife to be in subjection to a lost or backslidden husband. So it doesn't say either one of those. It says, if any, obey not the word. I mean, he's either lost or he's backslidden, right? He could be coming to church and be backslid as, you know, Joe Biden. I mean, he could be backslidden or lost as Joe, whichever one he is. Kamala Harris is supposed to be some kind of Baptist. I don't know what she is, but help us, Lord. But it's telling her to be in subjection to him who does not obey the word of God. And that lost or backslidden husband could be won over by your conversation. You say, "What is that my speaking?" No, that's your whole life. That's your testimony. That's your walk with God. That's everything. I mean, whenever he comes in and he wants to start an argument, instead of snapping back and yelling back at him and screaming, she just says, okay. And she goes and prays about it. And every man hates the silent treatment. Amen. Thank you. Finally got amen from a man. Every man hates the silent treatment. And sometimes, ladies, you can do it without an attitude. You can just say, okay, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do. And you say, what do? You go pray about it and do it. You say, what if he tells me to do something that's wrong? And I'm going to leave you hanging because we're going to look at that next week. I pulled out the chart for nothing. Look at the pretty writing. And we'll do that next week. We're going to look at it. What if the husband's a bully? What if he's mean? All those things. Now, there are certain times in a marriage where if somebody's being physically abused, that woman's not going to stay. And she doesn't need to. Amen. Amen. I mean, I think, you know, there is a line drawn on that. And there's a special place for people that do that stuff. But if that's not the case and she's just not happy because of decisions he's making or whatever the case might be, or she's being told to do things that she doesn't feel like is right, the Bible tells us exactly how to deal with those situations. And you say, well, what's the end of the story? The end of the story is, wife, submit to your husband in everything. What about, nope, in everything. The Bible says to submit to her husband. And so it doesn't leave a clause on that part. God deals with those in authority only after those under subjection have placed themselves in subjection to their God-given authority. So what does that mean? If you want God to deal with your husband, you must put yourself in submission to him as the authority. If you choose not to do that, if you choose to remove yourself from under his authority and not be in submission or subjection, now God cannot deal with him about how he is ruling his home because you're not under subjection to him. Now you're putting yourself up open for attacks, and now you're going to get the judgment because God can't judge him for being over you because he's not over you. Because you removed yourself from that. I gave the umbrella illustration last week on that. God will deal with a husband. He will. We see all kind of illustrations in the Bible about how God dealt with different men of their homes, and we might look at a few of those as we go along. But I am going to stop there. I did have something I was going to get to on here, but maybe, Lord willing, next week we'll get to that part.